This show contains four-letter words and adult situations. But what did you expect? It's called Now That I'm Older.
Desperate hour. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
We are going to make this decision now. The Fox News decision desk has called Pennsylvania for Donald Trump. This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States, winning the most unreal, surreal election we have ever seen.
Sorry about my shit intro.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Now That I'm Older with Shane Smith and Ken Baldwin.
A.K.A. KB Paper Stacks, A.K.A. Baldwin Escobar, A.K.A. Danger Zone, A.K.A. Vanilla Thriller, and A.K.A. MC Killer B.
No one calls you any of that.
Hey guys, welcome to the first official Now That I'm Older of 2017. It's a show about how getting older sucks but can be awesome at the exact same time. You can find us online, go to nowthatimolder.com. We're also on Facebook as well as Google Play, Stitcher, and iTunes. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the show anywhere you find us online because that helps us out a lot. You can also find us on Twitter and Gmail, but it's at NTIOPod. And you can find us on Twitter with the hashtag PodernFamily. It's a family of podcasters who come together to cross-promote each other and basically create a family out of absolutely nothing. And this week, instead of calling out any one individual podcast, I thought I would just say thank you to the entire Podern family. 2016 was a great year for Now That I'm Older, and it was definitely due in part to the fact that we're a member of the Podern family. So thank you to every single person who uses the hashtag, from the great shows that we get to listen to every week to the badass people we've met. Podern family has been amazing, and I know 2017 is going to be even better than it was in 2016. Now, I also wanted to take a second to say thank you to every single person that can hear my voice right now. Everybody out there who listens to Now That I'm Older every week, you guys have made this so much more worthwhile to do every single week. Kenny and I were already talking. We just happened to put microphones in front of us, but once we heard that you guys were out there listening, it just made it even more fun to do. So thank you guys so much for checking out the show. We promise we're going to do everything we can to make 2017 even better. Now, obviously, this is not your typical Now That I'm Older show. We didn't start out with the intro story and then have me and Kenny going back and forth in the intro, but fear not. Next week, we're going to be back with a brand new episode, and it's going to be episode 100 of Now That I'm Older. That's right, we've been doing this show for 100 straight episodes, and we're so stoked to finally reach this landmark. Kenny and I have decided to share a story that's equally disgusting as well as amazing, but you're going to have to wait till next week to hear about that. Right now, we want to hear from you guys. Give us a call on the NTIO line. That's 678-653-NTIO or 678-653-6846. Tell us what's on your mind. Tell us something about episode 100. Tell us what you think about Now That I'm Older. Just give us a call and tell us what's going on with you. Now, this week, we're not going to have a whole lot of transitions. You're not going to hear from me again. I just decided to pick some of our favorite clips from 2016 and intersperse some news clips and maybe some lines from some people that we love that passed away and basically just look back on 2016. So check it out. We'll be back next week. And thanks a lot, guys. Here's to a great 2017.
This is going to be such an exciting day. I hope you enjoy it. I think you will.
So we took a break, and Nikki apparently now knows who Tony Robbins is. She actually looked on her phone and was like, oh, yeah, the guy with the big teeth.
I've had dreams about him eating me.
You've had dreams of Tony Robbins eating you. Can you tell us about it?
Sliding down into a slide, and it's just his teeth at the bottom.
Chomp, 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 chomp. I can help you be a better you.
Walk on these coals, you dumbass.
Well, that's one of the things that he does is when you go out to like one of his seminars and shit like that, like he steals that ancient Indian tradition of like walking on coals to prove you're a man and shit.
Those people like build up calluses over years.
Well, yeah, it's because like it's a part of their practice. It's part of their religion.
Well, they're Indian. They're Indian, so they have to fucking walk
big-ass
anywhere.
Teeth, dude. Nikki's holding up a picture of these fucking big-ass teeth.
Imagine big-ass teeth, ladies and gentlemen. Shane, you need to put that link in there.
to imagine big ass teeth.
A picture of his big ass teeth on the website. That needs to be our cover picture for this episode.
I think what we should do is get a artist rendering of what it would look like with you sliding down a slide into his teeth.
Don't fucking animate my dark nightmares.
Oh God! And he's at the bottom going, "Be a better you."
That's not funny. That's stupid.
He's all like, "That would be the stuff of nightmares. I don't want to talk about that.
That would be dumb. Like snake mittens."
Snake mittens?
That's dumb. Automatically, your brain knows snake mittens are dumb.
Where would you even put them? I mean, like, seriously, on their tail?
That's kind of why they're dumb, but I'm glad you dissected the joke right there. I just laid it out for anybody who didn't get it. Where would they wear the mittens? You know, because that's why they're snake mittens.
Okay, so here's the... So Kenny and I are in the car just a few minutes ago, and we decided to start talking about a friend of ours who passed away. And his family, when he passed away, decided to...
Shane said, you know, when I was at his funeral, and I was like, "You mean the pizza party?" Because they had literally a pizza party.
They literally did not have a funeral. There was no casket. There were no flowers.
He wasn't there. His body, his remains, none of him was there.
He was there in spirit.
I don't think so.
With the cold Little Caesar's pizza by the time we got there.
And it was Little Caesar's pizza, mind you. It was like they went deep into the pizza budget.
Let me start from the beginning of this story, because our friend Jamie passed away. It was very tragic and everything like that he passed away. But when I get the notice, like, they tell me, "Hey, we're not going to have an actual funeral. We're going to have a get-together for him." And I'm like, "What?" My brother calls me that day and he goes, "Are you fucking serious with this? They're not going to have a funeral? Like, they're not going to a church or at least, like, a community center and...
something?"
Saying, you know, "Hey, this really sucks."
He got cremated, right?
Yeah, he got cremated.
The place where they cremate you has a chapel where you can have a funeral with the person's body before they cremate you. I know this because we had to do that for Manny.
I just don't get the whole "let's have a party" thing. But the first thing they did when they tell us "let's have a party" is they give us the address where the house is, and they tell us it's like 1913 such and such road. And I put that in the GPS, and we drive over there, and we are literally in the middle of no fucking where. There's no house there. And I call the people up, and I'm like, "Hey, where the fuck are you guys at? Like, we're trying to find you guys." "Oh, it's the address I gave you. It's 1913 such and such road." I'm like, "No, bro. I'm sitting here right now, and there's no fucking house here. There's no neighborhood here. There's a driveway that leads into the woods. Okay, so unless you guys are hiding in the woods..."
I'm in Deliverance over here.
Exactly. "Unless you motherfuckers are hiding in the woods, there's no house here." And he gets back on the phone after a second or two and goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, dude. It's 1319, not 1913. I was like, "You son of a bitch." So we drive over to the house, and there's like shit tons of people here. Me and my little brother parked like way at the end of the road because my little brother didn't go with me. I went by myself. We parked way at the end of the road.
I didn't go either.
I do. And walk in, and they're like, "If you want some food, there's some pizza in there." And by the time I get in there, there's like literally cold pizza in there. I was told like we're going to have a dinner and stuff like that. I'm thinking, this is going to be great, man. We get together and basically mill about for a little bit. There's no real organization. They told us they wanted us to tell stories. Like, they wanted me and my, everybody who knew him, really, like when he was playing music and he was a guitar player and stuff like that, they wanted us to tell our stories about him. And none of us really felt comfortable because it didn't feel like a fucking funeral. It felt like we were at a pizza party.
Pizza party.
For a friend of ours who had just died.
I swear to God, if I die and y'all don't have a funeral, I'm going to haunt the fuck out of y'all. I'm going to be like, and not like kind of haunt you, like shake some shit and scare people. No, I'm throwing dishes. I'm fucking going in deep. I'm going to throw glasses. If I can push over like the commode on your head and kill you, I will kill you. If you don't have a funeral for me.
How would you push a commode over on my head?
You might be cleaning it, bent over something, I push the lid over. Be like, "Ha ha ha." Be like, "God damn it.
You want to kill me because you don't have a fucking funeral?"
You better have. I'm just letting you know now, because I can't tell you without hitting you in the head with a funeral thing. Or not a funeral thing, a toilet bowl lid. And so, you know, if you don't want to get ceramic right upside the noggin, you better.
You're not going to brain me if we
can. Oh, I'm going to brain you for sure if I have to throw glasses.
Why would you brain me instead of your parents?
I'm going to get them too.
So you're going to go on this death rampage if we end up not...
Yeah, I'm not a bitch spirit. If you guys don't have a funeral for me, I'm coming after your asses. Get out, get out.
Is that the sound you're going to make as you're haunting me?
No, I won't need guns then.
I just, every time I think about this whole thing, like, Jamie died all tragically and stuff like
For all we know, his family is getting hit with toilet pieces right now. Jamie could be over there going, you sons of bitches!
He is just bitching as a ghost.
Running around. I bet he still has short legs, too. Running around, looking like one of the ghosts in Batman.
Our friend Jamie had these ridiculously little legs, but he could do backflips and shit. It was amazing what he could do with
his little
legs.
Didn't have to go very far with them.
He had a no center of gravity, as it were.
He was like a human Dotson.
But like, we would get over there and
he had a very long torso too. That's where we should have called him Wiener Dog. Why did we never come up with that while he's alive?
Oh man, the jokes that we told. But like, they wanted us to tell stories about him and stuff like that, and me and all my friends were just like, yeah, no, not really. Like, we didn't know most of his relatives and shit like that, and it wasn't really a memorial service. It was more or less
a pizza party.
Yeah, like Kenny keeps getting hooked on the pizza party thing. It was definitely a pizza party. There's no other way around it. It was a pizza party.
I don't know. I mean, God, the mighty damn. Not to have a funeral, that's just something.
Yeah, I can't wrap
swear
my brain
to God, I'll haunt the fuck out of you motherfuckers.
I'm probably going to get an exorcism. If you
decide. Oh, there ain't going to be no exorcism. I'm going to take that motherfucker out as soon as he walks in. I'll be like, oh, I know who he is. I saw the movie.
No, we're going to get a guy who's like undercover exorcist, though.
Yeah, he's probably going to be real good at his job. Undercover exorcist. Chris Peterson here. We're going to surprise his spirit. You see me all looking out the window, all like, no, you're not. You got a fucking TV truck out there. That thing's got antennas for like 16 miles.
Kenny's got the
ghost. I'm not a fucking moron, you fucking assholes.
Kenny like floats into the room and shit, and Chris Peterson standing there going, have a seat.
No.
Have a seat.
He'd get hit with a dish right there.
Could you imagine if they changed around?
I thought you guys said that he throws the dishes. It looks like they're just floating. Oh, he's aiming. You might want to. He's very serious about it. He does that for a minute. You might want to get under something.
After they canceled the show, they decided to bring Chris Peterson back for a supernatural show called How to Catch a Poltergeist. And this was the one and only episode where Chris Peterson decided to quit.
I'm not doing this anymore. He hit me right in the arm of that dish.
Kenny brains him with like.
I used a saucer. They actually hurt the most. The big dish is not as aerodynamic. The saucers are like. I'm doing my ghost pre-show interview or post-show interview. So the dish. Why are you doing this, Mr. Ghost? Those motherfuckers had a pizza party instead of a funeral. Oh, we've changed our position. You guys are assholes. We're with the ghost now. That's just how I would handle the situation.
I still think it was pretty fucked up for them to have a funeral or have a pizza party. I go back to
dishes just flying at people.
Like, dude, I'd be throwing forks and shit at people. Like it would.
Dude, if you pooped, I would throw it out of the toilet at you. What the fuck? I'm a ghost now. I can't get bacteria diseases.
I'd make blood come out of the fucking shower head and shit like that. You'd be taking a shower and suddenly be all sticky and warm.
No, I'd pee on you.
Oh, I'd make sewage back up in the fucking in the shower and shit while you're standing there. You'd be like, oh God, it's everywhere.
I'd just make my little ghost hands and close the pipe.
And then I would push your ass down in the fucking shower. Stand
you're all
over
slippery
you.
And wet, so you can't get your footing. Like, I don't have to stand, you asshole, I'll float.
And then I would stand over you and say, that's for fucking having a pizza party. Next time, have a funeral, bitch.
God damn it.
Never make me no underdog, and never talk about who's gonna stop me. Well, ain't nobody gonna stop me. Not a heavyweight in the world fast enough to stop me.
So David Brown comes in to the Dairy Queen where I'm working, and I'm standing back on the grill. And at this point, like,
the world needed assholes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The world needed us to be assholes to show people like David Brown that they don't get to run the fucking world.
Exactly. So just like he tried to at Dairy Queen.
So he comes into Dairy Queen and he sees me on the grill and he's like, oh, what the fuck's going on back there, man? You fucking flipping burgers and shit? And I was like, David, I really don't have time for this shit, dude. Just shut the fuck up. He's like,
I'm at work.
This is exactly how, because at this point, like the manager, I'm really good friends with her. And like the guy who runs the place was like a future state senator and shit. Like he was never going to fire me. He really, really liked me. And I was a hard worker. So I knew I could get away with pretty much
and
murder.
Again, David was a dick in the community. No, exactly.
Like
David.
He was a community dickhead.
Like even the fucking people at the fast food joints knew he was a dickhead.
So he comes in and he's all like talking shit to me. Hey man, fucking, I just put a hot dog in. You going to make my fucking chili dog for me there, bitch? And I'm like, yeah, David, I'm going to make it real special for you. So I make his chili dog. I don't put anything on it. I don't put any boogers on it. I don't pee on it. I don't do any of that shit, okay? But I put the chili dog in the little container, the little little cardboard container, and I'm walking around the counter, and I'm walking real slow, and he's like, oh, is that my fucking chili dog? Fucking burger flipper? You fucking fast food worker? Like, he's talking to me, like, dressing me down this the whole time get up there.
That was David's MO. He would just sit there and try to say shit that was insulting, but it was really just really small.
And as I got to the counter, I opened the thing up. I was like, is this what your chili dog looks like? Is this the chili dog that you wanted? And he's like, yeah, man, fucking slaw, chili, onions, all that shit. And I took the chili dog at that point, and I threw it into his face. And he had, like, chili on the side of his neck, like, coming down. And he's like, you motherfucker, I'm going to fucking whoop your ass. And I was like, oh, really? I was like, good. I'm going to take my shirt off. So I took my Dairy Queen shirt off, threw it on the counter, and I'm walking towards the actual door to get out to the lobby so I can go whoop David Brown's ass in the front of the store. 3 weeks after we had installed cameras at Dairy Queen, but David had pushed me to the point where I didn't give a shit. I was about to whoop his ass on the camera.
I've been there.
So Adam Morris walks up behind me as I'm about to, and he grabs my T-shirt with all of his force because Adam weighed about, I don't know, 20.
Adam's a little spry dude, but exactly. Adam's also pretty...
He's pretty stout for a little guy.
Pretty stout for his size.
Grabs me up, spins me around.
He knows how to apply the force he has.
He goes, don't fucking go out there. I was like, dude, I have to go kill David Brown.
I have to go kill this guy.
I have to go fucking kill this guy. You don't understand. He was like, no, I just saw him get up with chili on his face, run out to the parking lot, and there's 3 football players waiting on your ass on the side of the building. I was like, you know what? Fine. See, let him explain to his friends why he's covered in chili, and I'll stay inside.
The big story over the weekend was the fact that the Cincinnati Zoo had to shoot and kill a 450-pound silverback gorilla.
Yeah, now the gorilla's name is Harambe.
So we're in class, and he decides he's going to try to pick on me and, like, try to take my coat. And I can't let somebody take my coat. that's just saying that you're a bitch if you stand for that. So I took my coat back. And, like, he went to swing at me. Now, again, we were unconfident, unpopular kids, but, again, my dad believed in test of strength, so I know how to fight. I went to the boys' club as a young kid and was the only white kid. And at first, they didn't accept me, but after a few, you know, tussles, I was in. It was fine. But, you know, when you go to the boys' club...
You've been brought into the group at that point.
Even once you're in the group, you still got to fight for position in that kind of environment. Yeah. The boys' club is, like... prison junior.
Prison light.
There's a reason it only cost my parents $1 a week for me to go to the boys' club.
$1 a week? That's like a work release program?
No, boys' club is run by the United Way. It's a charity, so it's for underprivileged kids to have a place to go safe, so they only charge the parents $1 a week.
It's really hard for me to picture your family under.
My parents did not, and my uncle worked there, so my parents just sent me there. They did not qualify.
I was about to say, dude, I know.
Remember the test of strength thing I just told you about? Hey, this is worse than you. Daniel, my brother, went to daycare. Because he's a little bit soft compared to me.
He is soft.
Yeah, he's softer than me, but my parents were like, nah, you're good.
Daniel, if you're out there, love you, man, but you are soft compared to your brother.
What do I do at the boys' club? I think you play billiards and fight.
Have you ever heard of the game Tonk?
Yes, I'm very good at it.
Have you ever played spades, Daniel?
Shane will not lie. You want me on your team if you're playing spades.
Yeah, spades is definitely on.
So anyway, plus I've done time. I can play cards good.
That's a story we could tell.
We've already told it, I think. Yeah, because Nikki brought me underwear.
I don't think we've actually told that one. But anyway, let's get back to it.
Anyway. So
David Brown takes your jacket. You swing.
No, I didn't swing. I snatched my jacket back.
Oh, he tried to swing at
you. And then at that point, he swung. And it was a pretty bad attempt. So, I mean, there was a little sidestep to it. And basically, I wasn't even throwing punches yet. I kind of like grabbed his arm and kind of pushed him off. And he pushed me. And I don't know, all the picking on me for that week or so from the popular kids just got to me. And since he was one of them, I decided to unleash. And I caught him with a couple jabs, threw him on the ground, and then proceeded to pick up my desk and beat the shit out of him with a school desk. Now, again, he annoyed the teachers. I was unpopular, but the teachers usually liked me because I was like an adult by the time seriously, I could have an adult conversation with an adult.
Right.
Kind of like Christopher can.
Yeah, my son.
Right, because my parents also expected you to not be an idiot. You didn't get to have, like,
I'm a kid. I don't know. No.
No, dude. We want to give you the knowledge. You so this, apply, this excuse
you,
doesn't
you can
work.
Apply logic just like we can, you little asshole. God damn it.
So how'd you get out of it with the teacher?
Well, I mean, I got sent to the office, but she left the whole desk thing out. And of course, he's not going to tell other people about it. But
can
everybody
pick up
else,
a desk and tried to kill me.
But everybody else in the class who saw it, it went around school like wildfire. I remember getting out at the end of the day because immediately you were put in ISS if you were in a fight.
Hey everybody, Mike Jolitz here. Hope you had a happy new year and you had a ton of fun. Anyway, on the next upcoming Mike Jolitz show,
when New Yorkers say Merry Christmas, do they add go fuck yourself automatically or no? Kanye dyed his hair. An idiot won the right to wear goat horns in his driver's license photo. Hillary got 2.9 million more votes than Trump. You still lost. Eat it.
Check it out, yo.
Grab him by the pussy.
This week on the Netflix and Swill podcast.
Okay, my champagne is gone and I have this moonshine here and it fucking, oh my god. It's gonna kill me if I drink this thing.
All men die. Not all men truly live.
Alright, fine.
Well. Oh fuck my ball, dude.
Woo. So check out our show on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom.
Hi everybody and welcome back to another week of the Geek Yogurt Podcast. This time around, we're talking Rogue One.
I love it when he's like, I'm taking these prisoners to imprison them.
There's not a single character that I actually gave a shit about in this movie.
That's the first time we actually saw like a ferocious application as to why these guys need to be afraid of the Sith.
It was awesome. It proved that he is still a fucking terrifying movie villain.
Be sure to catch us weekly. You can find us on Podbean and on iTunes.
And the Oscar goes to Leonardo DiCaprio. This is the first Oscar and sixth nomination for Leonardo DiCaprio.
I was running against Saxby Chambliss.
Hold on one second. Let's go back into this real quick. You ran for Senate while you were living with me and I don't remember this?
I mean, you should, but that shows how self-absorbed you used to be when you were in a band. Nikki was my campaign manager.
When did you speak? Did you have any rallies?
I had all kind of rallies.
Where? Where were these rallies held?
We didn't invite you.
No. I just
went to the dark side.
So at a nightclub, you held rallies? How many people did you have?
We played a show at one of them. I was running for president when I threw the Ken Baldwin event.
Wait, were you running for Senate or were you running for president?
Started as president. We decided Senate was more prudent.
So you decided that
we switched,
instead of being president.
We switched fighting weights.
So you decided to train as a light heavyweight right in the middle of a fight. You were like, you know what, dude? I'm not going to be able to make this heavyweight.
We're just going to have to, or I couldn't make it as light heavyweight and had to stay in the head. Whatever. The point is, we ran for Senate. I had a cutout picture with the American flag behind it. It's great.
I do remember that.
Now you're coming around. Remember? Ken Baldwin for Senate. It was like 2008.
Yeah. Like, were you gonna be a Democrat and run with Obama?
No.
Or were you looking to?
No.
You're gonna fight against Obama.
It was the year before Obama. Actually, it was.
2008 is when Obama got.
I know. So it must have been. It must have been 2004 because it was Bush's second term.
Oh, okay.
And I was running against Saxby Chambliss.
That's right. And did you guys ever have words? You and Mr. Chambliss?
I don't think he knew I existed. I only think I got like 10 people involved.
So at these rallies, there were only like 10 or 12 people?
Well, most of them didn't know they were a rally for me running for Senate. We advertised it more as like free beer. So there wasn't even free beer.
So basically, you.
Karen was the bartender at one of them.
You, my brother's girlfriend Karen was the bartender at one of your rallies. Yes. So basically, you advertised that this was a rally, but nobody knew.
Actually, I told them it was Code Adam shows.
Right. So the band I was in
and Moses Jones shows
that was playing to like 200 or 300 people. You would be like, "Hey, you 200 or 300 people. You would think are you'd now remember that rally."
Yes.
Well, I remember them as Code Adam shows that I played at. You remember them as rallies. I don't remember you
for
having,
my Senate campaign.
Exactly, for your Senate campaign. Your Senate.
Shane Kelly was my internet manager.
Yeah, I remember that now. Yeah. I remember you having the picture with the American flag, and you were basically Stephen Colbert before Stephen Colbert was Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, I think Stephen Colbert stole his whole gimmick from me.
I could see that. You were very important. You were very influential.
We both like Lord of the Rings.
You and Stephen Colbert do?
Yeah. Both have Catholic ties.
Do you have Catholic ties?
My whole dad's side, my whole family.
That's right. That's right. I do remember
They're
this.
Fucking immigrants from the North. All immigrants from the North are Catholic. Are you stupid?
Anybody who came in around
either
those,
Jewish or Catholic.
Anybody who's in Boston, you know, those sorts of spots up there, Pennsylvania,
they're
those
all
spots.
Of them. They're all Catholic. They're
all
of them
are Catholics. Yes. Okay. So you, I just can't wrap my head around this.
Senate hopeful, Ken Baldwin.
I just can't wrap my head around the fact that you would have nominated shows that I was a part of as the drummer and be like, "Hey, you guys are now a part of a rally." And people are like, "A rally for what?"
I mean, yeah.
Beer! And people just agree with you.
Right.
Did you ever break out any USA chants while you were there? Because
yeah,
those are
a couple
easy
times.
To start.
Yes. It's all you got to do is say it one time with your hand up. And
you if,
go.
You
do,
if you pump your fist
it's like
three
doing
times,
the wave.
If you pump your fist three times, then the USA will start.
So I'm going to need you to start showing me real respect. I was a Senate hopeful at one point.
There's a lot of people who are Senate hopefuls. Jesse Jackson was a Senate was a presidential hopeful.
He's been a congressman.
Jesse Ventura,
he's been a governor.
Was a senator.
He was a governor.
Was he a governor?
A governor.
I'm thinking
of
Al Franken, who was a senator.
He is still a senator.
Yeah, he's a sitting U.S. senator. Al Franken, who used to be fucking Pat on Saturday Night Live, is a sitting U.S. senator.
So be it.
But you never even had like two or three people
I
or
live
a conversation.
In Georgia.
You never even had a conversation.
I live in Georgia. I don't hate black people and abortions enough.
So that's why you're saying that your campaign failed?
Yeah, I was too friendly to women.
You support compromise, reproductive rights?
But yeah, I can't go back on my beliefs that women actually deserve the same rights as us, so I have no child in Georgia.
Whoa. Like owning land and voting and stuff? Like,
Shane seems to have a problem with this.
I didn't say I had a problem. I'm just making sure I'm clarifying the rules.
Whatever, you turned red.
I didn't.
Flush. That's a lot of women owning property and wearing pants.
Are they going to be owning guns too? Because that's kind of where I draw the
line.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. 38s, especially. What's a lady's pistol?
It's a lady's pistol?
Or a good boot pistol.
Why would women need a good boot pistol?
They don't use it. That's their primary pistol, but for a man, it's a boot pistol. Because it fits in a boot good.
Do you have a boot pistol?
You don't need to worry about what I have.
You don't have boots?
Archer
on.
Carries a 25 caliber.
I watched an episode of Archer the other night where fucking Ray looks at him and Archer pulls out his little 25 caliber and Ray goes, "You better put that back in your purse." I was like, that's awesome.
Another episode where he pulled a gun on Ray and Ray pulled the gun back. It was like, "I have a gun too."
Yeah, that show's still one of those most amazing
things. They had
to
change
the
name of their organization, though.
Yeah, because
they were
ISIS
before ISIS.
Yeah, they were ISIS before it was cool to be a fucking murderous terrorist organization and shit like that.
Masturbating monkey.
Reoccurring theme on some of these clips from this recording session are going to be the masturbating monkey, apparently. That's nice.
You hurt his feelings. You hear him wink at the end there. He got sad.
I can understand being
he
sad.
He lost his motivation to finish.
I can understand being sad.
Well, the famous Ice Bucket Challenge is paying off. It is now being credited with a step forward in the fight against Lou Gehrig's disease. Millions took part in the challenge, raising more than $100 million. Scientists say that money funded new research that's helped identify a gene that could lead to new therapies.
So you've got this one story about supervision, about obeying traffic laws. About making sure that you stay seat belted, I guess you'd say.
Okay, so you want to talk about my obsession with everybody being seat belted in?
Yeah. Okay. We want to talk about why you're obsessed with everybody being seat belted into the car.
Okay. My obsession comes with being seat belted in. I was about 6 years old, and growing up in Savannah, we were driving down one of the main strips. I want to say it was Victory Drive. That was one of the main strips down in Savannah back in the 80s.
Were you in a station wagon?
No, I don't think it was a station wagon. I think it was a Lincoln Town Car or something like
Hell
that.
Oh, yeah, dude. Driving it was in one luxury. Of the,
yeah, fancy. It was, no, no. No, no, no.
Well, it was when it was bought. Maybe not by the time you were in it.
Maybe it was a Le Sabre. Like one of the old school
one. It kind of reminded me of like, I mean, I want to say it was like an old Lincoln, but it reminded me of like.
Buick Le Sabre.
Like you see like pimps drive them.
You know? Monte Carlo.
It was long and big and square. And you know, like the one, the front, the two front headlights. They were off. They were flipped one way, and when you turn them on, they flipped up on the inside. They just kind of flipped around.
It's a Pontiac.
Was it a Pontiac?
Yeah, but it's not a Firebird. I don't know.
I don't remember exactly what it was.
But yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's a Hoopty.
But it was it was a Hoopty. It was a Hoopty ride. You know, and I come from you know that side of the family, and so we were driving.
The Hoopty side.
So we were
the Hoopties of Savannah.
We were driving down Victory Drive. I'm thinking my Aunt Kathy was driving and my Aunt Teresa I think my Aunt Teresa was at her house. And there was a bunch of us kids in the back and there were some kids in the front.
Back when you didn't have to be in the seat, you could just be running around.
Yeah, we were just, well, that's exactly what you're doing.
You could sit in laps and shit, though, when you were a kid. Like,
yeah.
I mean, my brother would be, like, wrestling.
Well, very true.
We had a station wagon. We were down.
Well, there was a boy in the front. I don't know who this boy was anymore. I have no idea.
You rode around with strange boys in the car when you were a kid?
Well, he was apparently a guest of my Aunt Kathy's. I was in the back seat of my Aunt Kathy's car.
So your Aunt Kathy rode around with strange boys in the car?
She was probably babysitting to make extra money.
I know, I'm just messing
with you.
No, it was probably just like one of like the neighborhood kids or something.
It was probably somebody she was keeping an eye on for the parents or something.
Yeah,
shit like
maybe
that.
She's friend. Who knows?
All right, so you guys are driving down Victory Drive.
Driving down Victory Drive, and he's kind of climbing over the back seat and kind of being like a mantra, like, rah, little kids. And like, we're, of course, little girls. What do? We squeal like, oh my God. Oh, yeah, girls. And I'm like, I think I'm like maybe 5 or 6. I'm a little
ear
kid.
Ear piercers is what I used to call them. Ear piercers.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it was. But we're driving down the road. No, my Aunt Teresa was in the car. And we're driving down, I'm remembering this now. Driving down the road. And apparently, like, the handle back then, the handles were different than they are now. And it was a metal handle. And when you leaned and you pushed down on it, the door opened. Well, like, we're squealing all of that in my elbow. I don't remember how it happened because I don't remember much of this. It's flashes. But all I know is, like, apparently the door had opened, and then I was in the road, and they kept driving away.
You may have been one of the kids that inspired Child Box.
I may have been.
Hold on. Well, do you remember the segment of Star Wars when the Millennium Falcon hits light speed and Darth Vader looks back at the general? And looks out where the Millennium Falcon was.
Yeah.
I bet every other kid in the car was doing that, going, holy shit, dude, she's not here anymore. Looking at the parents going, where the fuck is she? Holy shit, she's not here anymore.
I've gotten the story of what happened in the car. So all I know is, like, one minute I'm in the car and we're screaming. The next minute I know I'm picking my head up off the concrete and I'm looking around. And all I see is a feel of headlights. I fell out in an intersection.
Nice.
I recently saw a video of this happening in China.
This wasn't China.
No, shit fell out the hatch. It was crazy. I'm just saying, It reminded me of the Chinese video a lot.
Well, I fell out, and like I remember seeing them driving away. And then I start running out. Oh, yeah, I was terrified because I'm on the other side of town. I start running after them. Like,
the baby was doing that, the Chinese baby. I'm just letting you know. I hope this feels good. You have proven a whole bunch of racist people on YouTube wrong. I was like, I don't think this could only happen in China. They were pretty, you know.
Well, did the Chinese parents like realize that the kid's gone, throw it in neutral?
I feel like somebody else got out of the car.
They threw it in reverse and came back down the highway.
They threw it in reverse as you're running after the car? How fucked up would it have been if they ran you down in reverse, dude?
Somebody
else had gotten out and got the Chinese baby, and the car stopped, and you saw him coming back, and the parent was like all kind of upset, but you're like, the first thing you ask yourself is, how do you let the baby fall out the goddamn car?
I mean, seriously.
And right now, it's the same thing. Like, how the fuck did she let Nikki fall out the car?
The long journey of Solar Impulse 2 is finally over. And aviation history has been made. The solar-powered plane landed in Abu Dhabi, completing the first ever round-the-world flight on an aircraft without using a single drop of oil.
Okay, so what was the cruelest thing that you ever did to your little brother, Daniel?
Either when I threw cement in his eyes or hit him in the head with a scythe.
I literally remember you telling me, I think we were teenagers when you told me the story of hitting him with a scythe. What prompted you to decide that you wanted to kill your brother?
That was an accident.
Go back and tell the story.
Well, I was swinging the scythe, cutting like weeds, like I was out there harvesting some shit,
like children
and
corn.
By the
shit.
Way, I've seen that when you use a scythe, you're supposed to rotate your hips, and basically it stays on plane with the ground, right?
Right.
That's not how I was using it. I was swinging it like
you
a hockey
stick. Hacking it,
yes.
Back and forth.
I was having a great time using it as a hockey stick and killing weed monsters.
Like it was the Mighty Ducks for you. It wasn't like a scythe, like you're the Grim Reaper.
Well, I mean, I was killing shit. I was having fun, and my brother caught a backswing.
So basically, he walked up to talk to you, maybe to tell you that he loved you.
I don't know. He probably wanted to take some shots with the scythe that we found. Somebody had brought the scythe as a Halloween costume.
At
one of those parties.
And they brought a real scythe to a Halloween costume?
Yeah, it was like a real one. Like, poor people, I guess, used to cut their grass still. I don't know. But yeah, it didn't look like a scythe. It looked more like a hockey scythe. That's why I was using it.
Let me just say that I know exactly the motion you're talking about, because when we moved into our single wide trailer in Villa Rica, we had this property there that was like, it was basically like the jungles of Villa Rica, Georgia.
Georgia has some jungle-ass ass terrain.
Like the weeds and shit like that will grow up. It was fucking ridiculous. Yeah. But Dad got out there with a scythe. And for the first few days, like he was like, we're going to clear this property, boy. And we have like an acre of land. And he gets out there and, you know, he's got a machete and he hands me this scythe like at 12 years old or some shit, like they're 10 years old.
Like you should even be involved in this.
Exactly. And we're out there hacking it. Now, mind you, we're out there hacking at weeds just like you probably were in shorts or some shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing good and goddamn well there's probably a snake in there ready to bite your ass all day long.
I bet those snakes were long gone. Like, look at these idiots. We're going to get the fuck out of here, Dad. Dad, quit eating that mouse. Come on, we got to go.
You got to
cough that up.
Either
this
cough,
one was good.
Either
I don't
cough
care.
It up, either cough it up or drag it with you. We gotta go.
We gotta go, dude. They gave the 12-year-old a fucking scythe. This guy's probably drunk or high.
Carl, you think he's gonna kill one of us? Ted, no! No, Ted!
I told you to poke up the snake!
Yeah,
it
was terrible, dude. I remember that whole thing, then we bought a goat to clear the
scythe. Oh, yeah, so I had a scythe, and I was taking a shot, and I came off of a backswing, and I heard something go clunk. And I turned around, and my brother had caught it right in the temple. So
at that moment, you thought you'd kill Daniel right there.
And at that moment, I decided that I had to grab my shit and go. And I hightailed it out to the woods, because I knew the woods way better than any of the adults.
Our hero, Ken Baldwin, in this story.
Decided to flee.
Decided that fight or flight had kicked in, and he was definitely flighting.
So the bad thing is,
I felt his ass right out of the yard.
I felt a little bit of guilt. So before I left, I poked my head in the door. I was like, hey, Daniel's laying in the backyard. And then I went the other way.
And then you ran.
And then I went to one of my little, like, you know, because when you're a kid, you have little forts pre-built out in the woods.
You do have, like, even if it's just a spot where you cleared out the weeds.
Right, some places to sit.
Exactly.
All of a sudden,
like
you're
some old buckets.
Oh, dude, I had gone all out, though, because I was kind of a bad kid, so I always needed to have a contingency plan. So I had, like, carrots growing out there. It was seriously like a wild shack.
Kenny was fucking Survivor Man and shit, because he decided to try and kill his brother.
People would throw stuff away, and I'd sneak over there and grab it and take it out to my little woodland enclave.
So you were basically a raccoon at the time.
very similar to a raccoon. It would have been a lot cooler if I had a raccoon with me.
Kenny was the coon.
The coon.
Look, just take whatever you want, but don't kill or rape me.
Oh, give over, will you? I couldn't rape you if I wanted to. Angels are ill-equipped. See? I'm as anatomically impaired as a Ken doll.
Perfectly fine.
Okay, so as we're sitting over here,
perfectly fine. Living my life, and this nigga has to bring the shit to my attention.
So we're sitting over here, hanging out, getting ready to record. Everything's going great.
Jack.
Kenny's cat is walking around.
My cat normally ignores me. My cat is now standing on my chest with his nose in my face,
kind of trying to get between Kenny and the microphone.
Yeah, doing
like
his
he wants
damnedest.
To take over.
And he's realized that he cannot maintain this 90-degree incline that is my chest. And he's looking around for a foothold and realizing, wow, I'm really going to have a hard time stepping up this annoying factor. Get down!
So now he looks like he's actually paying attention to what Kenny's trying to do on his laptop while he's recording with me. But so I'm sitting
I'm
over here
goofing off on the laptop, by the way. I'm working on, now that I'm older, promotional photos.
Right. He's working on promos. And while he's doing that, I'm doing
son of a bitch. he stepped on my.
While he's getting stepped on by his cat, I'm checking a couple things on Twitter while he's doing that on the laptop and shit. So I pull up one of our tweets we had this week, which was,
hey, hold on a minute. Everybody make sure you enjoy a refreshing Coca-Cola.
We're not getting paid by Coca-Cola. What are you doing?
Nothing.
Are you getting paid by Coca-Cola?
I have a non-disclosure agreement I can't share.
Whoa. No. We're going to actually talk about this later. But
remember, folks, have a nice Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola, call
me. I'd like to teach the world to sing.
They don't think they use that anymore, dude. I was checking out some things on the Twitter, and I posted a tweet this week that says, Kenny and I talk about how Punisher kind of beat Daredevil's ass this season. And it was a picture of Daredevil tied up in some chains after he'd gotten his ass beat. And I got a response from somebody on Twitter. I'm not going to say the name of the guy, but his response...
You can say it. Nobody's going to recognize that crap. It's like Kanda Puta 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 Ball.
It's Pascal Tuatu, who looks like he's a member of a foreign army. And his response to me is, your love to me, USA, will find the answer in your wish in God. Which I think are words that we can all live by.
I was perfectly fine sitting over here minding my goddamn business, working on this picture, and Shane has to bring me into this goddamn world he's found. Where'd you find these motherfuckers?
Your love to me, USA, will find the answer in your wish in God. That's all I really have to say to you anymore for this podcast. I think we can...
You don't have no love or nothing. You stay away from me.
Your wish in God, America, USA, praise be unto... America.
Praise.
I mean, like, what the hell was going on with this tweet, dude? I'm just sitting here checking some stuff, and every now and then I'll get a response like that. Like, I posted a picture of the Buddy Christ, like, snapping the finger and pointing at the camera. I got a response from some dude who was like, don't be making fun of Jesus, man. And I was like, I'm not.
wasn't what I meant that way. I don't know the fuck you're talking about.
But. I don't know why. The one thing that really gets to me is, why do those kind of people always act like Jesus never had any fun?
Like, Jesus doesn't approve of your fun and shenanigans, sir.
I mean, like, according to most, like, hardcore people who are, like, really, really hardcore about religion, like those hardcore right-wingers, they're like, Jesus basically sat around going, no, let's not sing.
Let's not ever enjoy life, ever.
Like, somebody sneaked up on him, like, probably snuck up behind him to try and scare him, and he was like, I don't get scared, and I don't approve of your shenanigans.
What are you doing?
Peter?
Oh, Jesus, really? Are you seriously trying to sneak up on me? Because that's the stupidest shit I've heard. I'm Jesus. You can't sneak up on me.
I am the son of God, okay? I'm better than any ninja you've ever met, okay? I am the original ninja, okay? And you're trying to sneak up on me? Peter, this is not conduct becoming of a disciple. Okay, go sit in the corner and think about what you did.
He called him a disciple.
He did. At that point, they were probably like, how would you have felt, okay, if you follow the story along? You're a dude who knows that you're the son of God. But other people, you try to tell them, hey, dude, I'm just a guy, okay? I'm just a guy who's the son of God who came to earth to be your buddy and hang out. And these other dudes are like, those dudes basically follow Jesus like he was a concert.
Dude, you're what?
The disciples follow Jesus like he was fish. Or he was the Grateful Dead, is basically what they did. Like, he went from town to town.
Shane just compared Jesus to fish. Your mom's going to hear about this. Darlene, call me. We got to set up another one of them interventions for Shane.
Don't speak. For some moments in life, there are no words.
That's it for Now That I'm Older this week, guys. Thank you so much for checking out the show. You can find us online, nowthatimolder.com, Facebook, Google Play, Stitcher, and iTunes. You can also find us on Twitter and Gmail, but it's at NTIOPod. Check back next Thursday for a brand new episode. And as always, getting older sucks, but can be awesome at the same time. Have a great week. So I feel like we can probably go for a little bit longer and get some more shit recorded.
Shane, get the fuck out.
No, we need to get some more shit recorded.
Get the fuck out.
It's time to record some more stuff.
Out.
Don't forget what happened to the man who suddenly got everything he always wanted.
What happened?
He lived happily ever after.